Ramsey TV.
Boy, I can't wait to get out of the 13s. Oh, the show number. What is this, 1359? Yeah, I don't, 13's just bothering me. I seem like I've been in the 13s forever. 13, 7, 8, 9. I'm not complaining. Well, yeah, actually, I am complaining. Yes, 13 is actually a bad number. It is. That's not superstition. I mean, people can treat it superstitiously, but numbers mean something in the scriptures, and 13 is not a good number. 13 is associated with the adversary, with adversarial forces. And so, and yet, I am producing great shows in the 13s. I love to. I love that. That's true. That's true. These shows have been great, and your comments have been great. Oh, and I got a notification from YouTube. There's a good notification. For some reason, I don't know why this happened, but in the last 28 days, I've got 90 new subscribers, 90. That is three times what I usually get, and I don't know how that's happening. Except, well, I do know how it's happening. It's you. You're sending these videos out to people. I don't do social media. They tell me I have a nice Facebook page. I've never been there, but they tell me it's nice. And so I don't promote this channel at all. I don't even tell you to hit the subscribe button. I hate all that stuff. I hate marketing. In fact, I will tell you, don't hit the subscribe button. If you don't want to subscribe, don't subscribe. You don't even have to hit the like button. Even if you like it, you don't have to hit the like button. Hit it if you want. Don't. I don't care about that. I care about the show. I care about the quality of the show. I care about you. And I am really happy that this show is getting out. And it's you that's doing that. So my question today is, reflected in the title of the show, is there such a thing as a close call? And my answer might shock you, but you know me, so it might not shock you too much. No, there's no such thing as a close call. Absolutely speaking, there are no close calls. Relatively, yes. You get the green light, you're on 13th Street, oh no. And you're going the speed limit, you got the green light, and suddenly a car from 14th Street comes barreling. Why wouldn't it be perpendicular? You can have a 14th Street running perpendicular to 13th Street. You want me to name it something else? You don't think that? Because it really doesn't matter to the story. Okay. Fifth Avenue. So you're going down 13th Street, and you have the green light. Somebody's coming down Fifth Avenue. They have the red light, and yet they run the red light. And they're running at full speed, and you just get through the intersection. No, because then you might not even know. You're entering the intersection, and this car whizzes by, and you miss it just by a hair. And if the car had hit you, it probably would have killed you. The combined speeds, let's say each car is going 50 miles an hour, you get 100 miles an hour worth of deadly speed. That was a close call. Well, you know what? It wasn't. And I'm going to use this to teach you about God and evil. And this is great. I mean, this is truly a revelation. Because that accident at the intersection of 13th Street and 5th Avenue. I'm sorry, I think 14th Street works better. 5th Avenue, to me, it seems to be more incongruent. But we'll go with it. That accident was never meant to happen. We all know from Isaiah 46:10, God tells the end from the beginning. All of the aeonian times, all of life has been scripted. It was all written ahead of time. The future is just as set in concrete as the past. So that accident that day at that intersection was never going to happen. How can you get any farther away from a close call than never going to happen? You see, it was never going to happen, and nothing, no event could have surprised the event. No event could have usurped, overridden God's intention. As Paul asks in Romans 9, who has withstood his intention? Nobody withstands his intention. Many people withstand his revealed will, but then there's his hidden intention. God's revealed will, for instance, states it in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit murder. That's his revealed will. Don't commit murder. And yet his secret intention was for the Jews to kill his son, which was an essential element in the salvation of the world. So God intended for that to happen. And his intention does go against, doesn't contradict. It just goes against his revealed will. And it's not a miss. It's not a sin on God's part because he intends it to happen. He needs people to rebel against his revealed will in order to fulfill his hidden intention. So that accident was never going to happen. Nothing could have made it happen. Nothing. Because it was written ahead of time. It was set in concrete. So how can you get further away from close call than never meant to happen? And so the question is, why then did it have to happen that way? If there's no difference in it never going to happen between 2 inches and 2,000 miles, like those cars missed by 2,000 miles. Oh, yeah, easy peasy. Nobody even realizes that they missed anything, if you know what I mean. But when you miss by 2 inches at a combined speed of 100 miles an hour, it's like, oh my God, I could have died. Doesn't it seem like a random event? And yet that is God reminding you of his constant protection. It was never going to happen, ever. So why did it have to be close? Why did it have to be close? God could have had that guy leave the house 10 seconds later, or he could have had you leave the house 10 seconds earlier, or he could have made the light at 12th and Broadway last two more seconds, one more second, and you never would have had this incident. And the incident wasn't an incident, it was the thought of the incident, the thought of a possible incident. Why did God have to do it that way? Obviously, he didn't. No, he didn't, but in another sense, he did. He wanted it to happen to you, so that you would know of his protection. And when something like that happens, you say, oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. If the car misses you by a mile, in other words, you would never even see it, are you going, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God? No, but you should be, because every minute of every day we should be, oh, thank God, thank God. Oh, thank God, thank God. Every minute of every day we should be doing that. Because when we find out the things that God has kept from us, I know he's put us in a lot of things too. But when we find out what God has kept us from, we're just going to be thanking him, thanking him, thanking him for eternity, literal eternity. Because God has kept us from a lot. But how do you know it? Every once in a while, he has to give you a reminder of how treacherous things are and the things that could happen. This is why you have people that you know who have had terrible things happen in their lives. And you know that could have been you, but it wasn't. I mean, I carry the pain of the other person. So could have happened to me because I feel it, you know. I feel it when something happens like that close to someone close to me. It's terrible. I go through it with them. I'm empathetic that way. I'm not saying that as any kind of boast. It's just God made me that way. So this continuous thanking God only happens, sad to say, usually only happens when we are confronted with a possibility in our minds, a relative possibility that something could be terribly wrong. Something could have gone terribly wrong but didn't. Because, again, we have no idea how many things don't go wrong every day. I fall into this trap all the time. Murphy's Law. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. That is so wrong. I quote it sometimes when everything seems to be going wrong. But for everything that goes wrong, there's a million things that go right that we don't even know about. So once in a while, God has to remind us. So he brings us the close call. I put it in quotation marks because it is not close at all. It's no closer than a miss by 2,000 miles because it was never destined to happen in the first place. And you can't get farther away from a close call than never destined to happen in the first place. Now I'm going to apply it to evil. Yes, yeah, relatively speaking, it was a close call. Relative to our perception, as I am relating my car to that car, relative perspective, that was close. And you can apply this to anything, you know, not just cars, but any kind of accident. Or again, something that happens to someone that you love, or even to a next door neighbor, or a tornado hits. This has been well documented. A tornado will destroy a house, and then the house next to it is untouched. In any natural disaster, you find these weird things, these anomalies, where an earthquake will swallow up one house and the house next to it unscathed. It's like, why? Why does God do this randomness? Well, to the person who experienced the bad thing, it has a purpose in their life. It's a hard purpose, but there is a purpose in it. And it also has a purpose for the person who it didn't happen to. Sometimes it's called survivor's guilt. Like when people survive plane crashes, they live with the guilt of having survived it. So, and some people suffer so much from survivor's guilt that they end up wishing that they had died in the plane crash. They can't get it out of their minds. You may have had something happen with your kids in the past that was so scary, such a close call with death, brush with death as it's called, that you can't stop thinking about it. And it happened 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. You can't stop thinking about it. And you may have still have nightmares about it, but it didn't happen. But you're living as though it happened. So in a way, things that don't happen, you still happen to you. So it's almost like we can't get out of this thing. But I think part of the reason is that we are to walk around constantly with a state of thanksgiving, of being grateful to God. I'll never forget when Jesus said to Peter, sounds like I was standing there. I'll never forget. Jesus walked up to Peter. I said, Satan wishes to sift you men like wheat, but I prayed for you. Either they're destined to be sifted like wheat or not. So why is Jesus praying for them, acting like his prayer could change something? It's relating again. It's this relative experience. Jesus wanting Peter to know and the rest to know that he was on their side and he was with them. And it sounds like, well, Satan wants to do it, but you're not going to let him do it? You're just praying for our strength. What's going to happen here? God could avoid all of it. He could just take everything from you. Nothing would have to come close. There would be no brushes with death. None of your friends would be brushed by it, touched by evil. Of course, that could happen. But again, we're put here to know the contrast between good and evil, sickness and health, life and death, sin and salvation. And so these contrasts and these brushes with death, these close calls are absolutely necessary. But you can't get further away from a close call than it never being destined to happen in the first place. So let's talk about God and evil. God appears to be struggling with evil. In the scriptures, we see examples of this. Even when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness by Satan, if you just bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. And we might be on the edge of our seat. Is he going to do it? Is Satan going to sweeten the pot? Is he going to throw in a side order of fries? Can the Lord's will break? You know, and we're meant to think this. And our Lord felt that. He felt the inclination. He felt like, yeah, boy, that would be nice. I could skip the cross and take my kingdoms, which are rightfully mine now. And so it felt very real to him. It was not just a moot temptation. It was real. It was real because Jesus Christ went through everything we go through. He was touched by all our infirmities, all our worries, all our concerns. Maybe not worry, but concerns, the heaviness of life, the threat of death, the doom that's hanging over our head all the time. He experienced all of that for our sakes. And if anyone knew whatever happens is destined to happen, and whatever is not destined to happen can't happen. If anyone knew that, it would have been him, obviously. And yet he's touched by it. So even when you know that everything's going to end up right, which we do, we know everything's going to end up right, but we know we still have to go through these things in the intermediary times. I don't like it, but that's just the way it is. But it gives you a different perspective on the struggle against evil. Just like that car crash was never meant to happen, this struggle that appears to be happening, there's these temptations, Christ in the wilderness and God threatening to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and making those deals with Abraham. If there are 10 people righteous, will you destroy? If there are 5 people, you know. And so this appears to be indecisive. God appears to be thinking about it, mulling over his choices on the spot, real time. But he's not. He's doing that to help us feel his saving power. Not only that, but also his camaraderie with us, his nearness to us. If we were touched by no evil, no fright, no death, no anything, we would just be complacent. We wouldn't thank God. We wouldn't need God. That would be ridiculous and absurd. So it does help to think in the absolute sometimes. God is not absolutely wrestling with evil. It's not even close. Evil can't win. It's not even close. God is going to win everything. We know it. We know that God's going to be all in all. We know that Jesus Christ was a successful Savior. There's no doubt in our minds. And yet God purposely orchestrates the close calls, orchestrates the battles. David and Goliath, Jacob battling the messenger from God. So many examples. Gideon, how's he going to beat the Midianites with 300 people? Can he do it? Will Jesus stay in the tomb beyond 3 days, or will God raise him from the dead? His own disciples didn't think he was going to raise from the dead. They were surprised when they were told that it happened. If everything is a sure thing, victory, salvation, the conquering of evil, the conquering of death, our immortality, if everything is a sure thing, and it is, then why this illusion of a battle? To make us appreciate, two things coming to my mind, to make us appreciate the presence of God getting us through it, to make us appreciate the presence of God in walking with us through all of this. We're navigating this. We have the bubble of ignorance. We don't know what's going to happen next. He does. But he sits next to us. And he holds our hand. And he goes through it with us. And that helps us get to know him. There's that. And then there's the thanksgiving aspect. That you're constantly thanking God. Wow. I didn't get sick today. I'm still alive. I got a good night's sleep. I had a good run. I felt good making that show. Drinking water is fantastic after a hard day's work. You know, all these little happinesses, little joys that we have in life. You need the thirst to feel happy with the drink of water. You need the work to feel happy with the rest. You know, and you need the argument with your spouse or with your best friend to enjoy the peace that comes after the apology and the repentance and the, we're back, friends again. That's good. It's a close call. We almost lost our friendship. No, you were never destined to lose your friendship. But that close call was there for you to appreciate that person even more. See, I'm applying it on a personal level now, but this is how it works with God, to appreciate him more. And we need to be nudged to do that. So we need these things to happen once in a while. I don't like it. I wish they didn't have to happen, but we need them to happen once in a while. These so-called close calls. There are no close calls. There's no such thing as a close call, absolutely speaking. No such thing. It's in the bank. There's no such thing as a life and death struggle with evil. It's a job. God's struggling against evil. Evil doesn't stand a chance. Satan is going to be reconciled to God. He doesn't have a chance of any other outcome. Of course that's going to happen. But in the meantime, oh, we see the wrestling match. We're touched by it. we're comforted by the presence of God, and we thank him and thank him and thank him and thank him. And that's a good thing, because the opposite would be a life without spice, life without meaning, really, life without victories. Because you can't have victories unless you can snatch them from the jaws of defeat.